promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, Bruschetta. It's Thursday.
Thursday, one
February
more day.
9th.
Woo, and then it's the weekend.
Are you ready for the weekend?
I am ready for the weekend. I mean, I have that big event we've been talking about that I'm doing, and I'm kind of just excited for it to be over so that I can kind of have a life again.
Yeah. Is it demanding of your time?
It's so demanding of my time. I mean, it's great because I like throwing events and whatnot, and I like seeing, you know, what comes about.
Right.
And it's going to be very successful, and I'm excited about it, but it's just a lot of work, and I just need to be putting my time in other things right now. So I feel like I'm everywhere.
Yeah.
So,
you get your plate full?
I do. Mm. But then again, if I don't have my plate full, then I cry about it. So, you know. I know. I need to be doing things all the time.
No crying here.
Yeah. Copy that.
Yeah.
You know what I did last night?
What did you do last night?
Okay. So I still have my damn Christmas tree up.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. And a girlfriend of mine came over and she's like, really? Really? Why? I'm like, I don't know. So she took my tree down for me, but we made it like a party. So we had like, we're mixing drinks and whatnot. But you know what we decided to do?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have a Valentine's Day party, anti-Valentine's Day party, have you, next week. And we're going to leave because it's a pink tree. So we're going to put red and black all over it. I know.
It's a pink tree. Is that how it was in the beginning?
Yeah, I always have a pink tree.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like.
They just paint it and stuff.
I don't know. I'm just retarded like that.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
No.
Yeah,
I guess not. A pink tree? I've never heard of that
pretty
before.
Pretty in pink.
But
pretty in pink.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of gay, but whatever. I don't care.
So you're going to save the tree for Valentine's Day.
I am. I'm going to make little hearts all over it, but I'm going to like put like really retarded like fuck Cupid things on it. It's going to be funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So you're not totally into Valentine's Day?
No, it's not that I'm not into it. I just think it's funny to do an anti-Valentine's Day. I mean, why celebrate? It's great celebrating love and everything, absolutely. But it's L.A., and there's so many people out there that are single.
Right.
Or, you know, it's whatever. I just want it to be a fun party. And
right.
So I do anti-Valentine's Day, which is hilarious. Even if you are with someone, it doesn't matter. It's just all about being silly and fun and dirty. And I make everyone write really dirty comments, like on these hearts. And I paste them all over the place, and the person that writes the dirtiest thing wins a prize. It becomes really fun, especially when you're drinking.
I'm sure. It sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm going to do that next week.
Okay. That sounds good. Because I'm not crazy about Valentine's Day, really.
No?
No, because everything is sort of expected, you know? And I feel, you know, if you treat someone nicely, do it any time of the year, you know? But to do it on that special day where it's expected that you bring flowers and expected to take out to dinner and stuff, I don't know. I don't like when things are expected, you know.
Okay.
But at the same time, I mean, I can appreciate it that people like to celebrate and all that stuff. So I sort of like join the party.
So okay, what is one of the cool? I mean, do you normally just take someone out to dinner type thing, or have you ever done anything different besides?
Sometimes you take a trip or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Has anyone ever surprised you with anything cool on Valentine's Day?
Has anybody surprised me? Yeah. I can't remember, but.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have.
I mean, because it's also not about, like, I also think it's just retarded to go out to a restaurant and get, because, I mean, people wait in line for hours.
Yeah, and
you know,
it costs you, like, three times as much as usual.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I think it's just sexier when you come up with something more creative. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be going out. It could be at home or whatnot.
Right, exactly.
It could be on the beach. It could be, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, cook a dinner for the other person or something. You
know? And, spice it up.
Yeah.
Put some, like, candles all in the room and, like, make it sexy time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it doesn't have to be, like the template that everybody's using.
I agree. I think it's more creative when you don't go out to dinner. I think it's just too cliche otherwise, you know?
Yeah. What about New Year's Eve? Do you like all that commotion on New Year's Eve?
I love New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Why? Because my birthday is in December and it's celebrated all month long.
That's true. Yeah.
Yes. So
you party.
Yeah. I mean, New Year's Christmas Eve, like, what did I do this year? Actually, this year I didn't really do anything. Mm. I was really lame-o McLamerson this year. But yeah. I think it was because last year I went all out and I went to New York and I went absolutely freaking crazy. Mm. So, yeah, this year was just chill. Like, whatever. Kind of, like, I mean, I enjoy being, if I'm with someone, then I want to go out and have fun kind of thing. But I don't know. I just don't care.
Anymore. Yeah. Well, yeah, stay home. Do whatever you want. You know, I mean, what the hell?
I think I'm getting lame in my old age.
Yeah.
What
there
the
you
hell?
Go. You know?
I know.
Yeah. Well, you need more energy drinks, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Because sign me up for that.
Yeah, like you don't have enough energy as it is,
yeah,
right?
I think I'm good. You know, I'm going to go biking today after here, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm actually, I brought my bikes with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Bikes?
Bikes.
More than one?
Well, because I'm meeting a friend. They're going to go biking with me.
I see. Okay. Where are you going to go? Anywhere special?
I'm going to start, because I've done this before, where I started in Santa Monica, and then I go all the way to Palos Verdes and back. So it's like 27 miles or something like that. Yeah.
Wow. That's a long way.
Yeah. But it's good. It's like I want the exercise, and I just want to like kind of clear my head, because I have so much going on that I just kind of need to like get out and clear it by the beach and just have a chill day.
Wow.
And I'm going to go to that, you know that holistic center that's on, it's in like, Pacific Palisades somewhere.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, it's amazing. It's like this shrine.
Uh-huh.
No, I can't remember what it's called. But there's like, it's amazing. It's like a big Buddha shrine, but there's like also every religion is represented around the lake.
Uh-huh.
Lake Shrine. That's what it's called.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so I'm going to go there first
and
kind of just do a little meditation with a friend, and then we're going to go to the beach.
Wow, sounds good. Yeah. I like riding on the beach there on the trail and stuff, you know, but I never got that far. I mean, the farthest I got was Marina Del Rey, I think.
I want a mission. When I do things, I want to go. Like, and then I have to, like, beat my time.
Right.
You know, I have to, like, I'm constantly competing with myself.
Yeah, you're so competitive. Wow.
I am. I know.
Even with yourself.
I with myself all the time. That's the worst. It's my biggest competition.
Yeah.
Like, I actually get in fights with myself. It's quite funny. Yeah, I know. You might think I have Tourette's.
Yeah, just a little strange. That's all.
I know. I am completely strange. But that's okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have a special guest in the studio. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him to us?
You know what's funny about this special guest, too, is we share the same birthday as well.
Really?
And he was actually sitting here, and he was like, me too.
Really?
We're both born on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is
Phil
Brock.
So you find that unique for you?
I find that wonderful, because when I was a little kid, I thought everyone got 2 weeks off because of my birthday. Bridgetta, did you feel that way too?
You know, I did. I did. I felt really special until then I realized that, it's for Christmas and you've actually forgot about my freaking birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I never had that because I have an only child syndrome.
Oh, you do.
So because of that,
the
birthday's awesome.
Right.
You know what? My brother's birthday.
So you didn't introduce him. What's his name?
This is Phil Brock.
Okay.
This is the wonderful, amazing Phil Brock. He's a man of many talents. I think that's what Capricorns kind of are, though, in a way, maybe. I don't know. But he's an actor. He also has an agency that's amazing, STG. Mm. They're amazing because I'm with them. he
we're
teaches.
Dropping you right now.
Fuck.
No, just kidding.
Hi.
Just kidding. I'll give my own introduction. Mine's better.
Yeah, it is way better.
Because Bridgetta just brought up, Sam, you just brought up one of my other interests.
Mm-hmm.
In my other life, besides being president of Studio Talent Group, and we just entered our 18th year February 1st.
Yay.
Congratulations.
And president of the Talent Managers Association in the United States.
Uh-huh.
One of my other things is I'm chair of the Recreation and Parks Commission, the City of Santa Monica.
I was going to say that.
And you, both of you just talked about the bicycle path in Santa Monica.
Right.
And we're adding new signage to that. We're doing all kinds of things to spiff up the bike trail, reduce accidents, and provide more access to it. And you'll see the results of that at the end of May this year.
Okay.
And then I also, in Santa Monica, we're opening new parks.
Oh, really?
We're doing all kinds of new things. And the Lake Realization Fellowship Shrine that you were talking about, Pacific Palisades, there is a great trail a few blocks from there, Las Leonas Trail.
Really?
Go hiking up that trail.
Okay.
It's almost all in the shade. And if you do it at dusk, coyotes are roaming the road just at dusk. It's awesome.
Sounds
That's
interesting.
Rad.
Yeah. So,
oh my
gosh. So let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Where are you originally from, L.A.? Because nobody's from L.A., right?
No, I'm not from L.A. I'm from Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
So I'm actually literally Santa Monica native, born at St. John's Hospital.
Wow.
My mother is an L.A. native. Mm. She was born at Queen of Angels, which is only unique for me because when I was acting, I got to film a movie on the roof of Queen of Angels.
That's kind
of
cool.
And my mother told me the next day that she was born in that hospital.
Wow. That's cool.
That's interesting. Yeah. So you've seen L.A. change and transform become something totally different than it used to be.
I don't know if it's totally different. I think,
the traffic is a lot heavier now.
Well,
I remember
there's
when
more
I
people.
Lived here,
yeah.
I lived here 35 years ago. It was like so different, you know, and obviously you've been here longer because you were born here. So
I think maybe Santa Monica is different from L.A. in a lot of ways, too. Maybe it's more chill. I don't know. It's more
we have a little bit of a small town. But, you know, look, I think every city is going to grow.
Yeah.
Except Detroit, which is dying. But every other city grows and right. Every city changes. And I know people always talk about, oh, my God, this old restaurant I used to go to. Remember the old pharmacy or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
I've always looked at progress as being fun.
Right.
And I think in life, you always have to look ahead.
Right.
And yes, I would love there to be less traffic.
Right.
But, you know, we're bringing, for instance, from downtown to Santa Monica. You'll be able to take light rail 3 years from now.
Really?
Get off on 4th and Colorado and walk to the beach.
That'll be nice.
It's about time. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Which is a strange thing because when my mother was little, my mom says that she was able to take streetcars, the red line, right. Everywhere in Los Angeles,
she used
to go from the Santa Monica Pier to the Palladium to go dancing and party and said that street transportation here in the 40s and 50s and before that was fantastic.
Right. Wow. I can imagine. Yeah. But you're right. There's a lot more people now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everyone comes here to be an actor.
Yeah.
See how I segued right back?
Yeah.
Back
oh, you that did. Was, that was a good segue.
Everybody wants to be an actor, but, you know, this is what the city is about, you know. That's why we have a lot of beautiful people here, because everybody from all over the world wants to
come. Is that why you
here.
Like being here?
Yeah. That's actually why I've been stuck here.
It's great for dating. You know, the old adage is a beautiful girl on every corner.
Right. Well, there's more than one girl on every corner, that's for sure. You know? There's a lot of beautiful women out here.
There's a lot of beautiful men out here, but that's why it's so hard. To date in that way because everyone's so full of shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Everybody poses.
Everyone poses.
In other words, there are a lot of narcissistic people out here.
You think?
Yeah.
You think?
I've heard that rumor.
Yeah.
So you grew up here in Santa Monica and everything. Where did you go to school?
I went to Santa Monica High School.
Santa Monica High School.
UCLA for undergrad and Loyola Marymount for grad school.
I see. Okay. So you went to grad school as well. You're not just...
He's well-rounded.
In the entertainment industry.
No, actually, my first play was 12 years old at Miles Playhouse in Santa Monica. But then in high school, I was into athletics, student government, other pursuits, gave up acting.
Right.
And in college, was in athletics at UCLA, history and kinesiology, double major.
Wow.
At Loyola Marymount, got my master's in educational administration. What I wanted to do from the time of 13 on was teach.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
So I coached and taught inner city Los Angeles from Crenshaw High to Hamilton High to Lincoln High in East L.A.
What kind of coaching?
Football, baseball.
I could see you being a mean coach.
taught history, like, English, psychology.
You would whip my ass.
So, you know, what's so interesting, though, is I've kept in touch with so many of my clients from my students. The old days.
Right.
So I see students from actually the little diner at the corner from my office.
Yeah.
The girl whose dad runs that diner, and she was my sixth grade student.
Oh my gosh.
In 1979.
Wow. I was a year old. I was a year old then.
You're so freaking young.
I am not that young. I really am not. Think about it.
No, but it's cool.
I'm 33.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
Yes.
You know, you really do.
Well, Bridgetta's already lived three lives.
I have.
At least, huh? Yeah, at least.
God.
And you know, and Bridgetta...
What?
Just got new headshots.
Yeah, I did.
Which is good. I've been begging her.
Yeah, I've seen them. They're very nice.
I've been begging her to get headshots for so long.
Right.
And she finally took new headshots, and they look fantastic.
They do look fantastic.
How was the photographer?
He was very good. I was actually the first photographer that actually took really great headshots.
So what is it that you do, Phil? I don't think we discussed that yet.
Studio Talent Group, I am a talent representative. We are a weird hybrid of talent agent and talent manager. Mm-hmm. Our clients range from Tony and Emmy award winners to actors who were just out of their college acting programs. Mm-hmm. And back in 1997 or 98, Backstage newspaper described me as a paramedic. Mm-hmm. My job was to resuscitate careers that had gone south, or to put the heart paddles on, jumpstart new careers, or resuscitate careers that have gone south. And that's still really what we like to do.
Right. Now, what qualified you to start a business like this? I mean, what had you been doing before that?
Well, I had gone from teaching and coaching into, strangely enough, weird segues in my life, into retail. Uh-huh. Owned a chain of retail stores for 10 years.
I did not know that. What kind of retail?
Fine jewelry and contemporary gifts.
Okay.
And we were everywhere from Copenhagen to Washington, D.C. to Atlanta to Palos Verdes to Denver.
Okay.
And then from then, went back to acting and was a series regular on 4 TV series, did a number of movies from low budget B movies to some A movies.
Right.
And the management part was a total random accident that I never would have moved into. But, you know, doors open,
right,
and you have a choice in life.
Right.
Some people hesitate and go, oh, my God, I can't go through that door. I've always thought, I'll go through the door. I can always find a way back out.
Yeah, that's true.
Like
I got
me.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. So managing was a total accident. But, you know, it turned out it was a combination of coaching, motivation, mm-hmm, trying to push people to do better than they thought they could do.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, sales. Yeah. From my retail positions.
It really is. All right.
And it had the same benefits when someone, we have an 8-year-old girl who booked her first national commercial 2 days ago.
Aww.
And Tessa booked an Old Navy, and she has two pilot auditions today. And to see an 8-year-old start to blossom and bloom.
Yeah.
And it's the first major thing she ever booked.
Aww.
And that is just such a fantastic feeling. It's the same as seeing someone that I coached, score a touchdown,
right,
or hit a home run. You see that person do that, and that's fantastic. And
mm-hmm,
that's what still juices me and keeps me excited about the industry.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I would imagine there's a lot of 8-year-olds trying to make it and stuff like this. How would you pick the one?
You know, I think you look for someone with desire. You look for someone who's vibrant. You look for personality as well as talent, as well as desire. Because the old adage is for anybody, any age in acting, is not only your ability, but would someone want to be on set with you for 14 or 15 hours a day?
That's true.
Are you someone as an actor that has a personality that other people gravitate to?
Right.
So it's not only your acting ability and your training and dedication, and the fact that you work every single day on your craft.
Right.
And there is a craft to acting.
Yeah, there is.
But it's also, are you someone who is taking the business part of show business,
right,
and marketing yourself and
bing, bing,
making
bing, bing.
There you go. And making sure that people know you, they like you,
right,
they want to be around you,
right,
and mm-hmm, they want to help you.
Right, right.
Sounds good. How did you guys meet?
How did we meet?
It was late one night
after
four martinis.
I was working the corner.
In a dark bar in a location far away.
He felt sorry that I was, you know, working the corner outside, and I was just coming inside trying to hook it.
Decided to pull you in.
Yeah, trying to make some more money, and, you know, it was kismet.
You know, kismet was the name of my first wife.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. But that's beside the point. It's a different story.
Anyway.
It is true.
Really?
So were you looking for an agent at the time or a manager?
I was. This was that's actually a weird story, and I don't even want to bring up his name. But it was back when I was pitching a reality series.
Oh, yes.
And I was working with someone else, and I was looking for someone to direct me as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And the name we won't mention because he sucks ass. and he's the biggest liar ever. Liar McLierson. Anyway, so they wound up talking, and I think we had met before that, actually.
We had actually met before. You had been helping run the white party.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe.
The white party.
And so I had met you a couple of times. Your manager at the time wanted to do a reality show starring Bridgetta.
Voila.
And needed an agent or manager to at least rep her for the reality show and come in and talk to her.
Right.
So I said, I'll be happy to talk to her. Doesn't mean we're going to take her, but we'll be happy to give her true, honest advice.
Right.
I know that's an oxymoron for a reality show, but that's what we said we would do.
Right.
And that's how we met and talked, and we liked her. Mm. I love Bridgetta's energy.
Right.
I love the fact that she was vibrant. I hate the fact that she's not as focused as she needs to be. But you know what?
Right.
I think she's starting to change. And she is
she's
a little
trying to figure out what she wants to do.
Yeah, but she's a little bit like me in the fact that, you know, I've gone through a number of careers, and it took a long time to find something that I really went, all right, I guess this is it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the cool thing is Bridgetta is very talented at a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is, to be a really good actor, you have to choose acting and choose that and be dedicated to it in order to really, really do well.
Right.
And that's the only issue. But you know something? She's settling down.
Right.
And she's a lot more focused than she was, I've seen in the last 6 or 7 months.
Yeah, right. You're right.
Yeah.
I am.
At the same time, though, you know, I mean, you like to dabble in different things and stuff. You know, it makes you more. I mean, do you really want to just focus on acting? Or?
I'm actually being more serious about acting recently. Mm. I feel like, too, one of my strong suits, and I'm realizing it more and more, is I'm actually very good at creating and I'm great at producing as well. So it's been. And that's what I think in the long run, I absolutely want to be creating a lot more. I love being in front of the camera, and I love hosting especially. And I love comedy. It's like my
which
forte.
Is something, say, a similarity, because I host a lot of charity events. I will be the auctioneer at any charity event, anywhere that I can help anybody, whether it's money in there or not, I'll help. And I'm president of the Boys and Girls Clubs in Santa Monica. I do a lot of charity work, and I encourage every one of my actors to be involved in a charity.
I do so much charity. I think that's takes away, though. You're right.
Why is that? Why do you recommend that to your clients?
Oh, well, we talked briefly. We mentioned the word narcissistic.
Uh-huh.
It's a great way for actors not to be narcissistic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's a great way for them also to experience everything else in the world. They may have come from a protected background,
right.
And to be a really good actor, you need to know all social strata.
Yep.
You need to realize that even though you're a bar back and, oh, my God, my day's gone horribly and I'm coming home, it's 2:30 in the morning, I smell like alcohol, but I didn't get to have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
You still need to remember that no matter how crappy you think your day was, oh, my gosh, you're so blessed. You're so fortunate. There are so many other people in the world that have so many bigger issues than you do.
Right.
And that's an important thing. So I think every actor who gives back, every actor who finds a way to give, they get more themselves.
That's true,
important.
Yeah.
You're so right. And I think that's like,
And I have to interrupt for 1 second because one of my eighth grade students from Borrendo Middle School in 1994 just Facebooked me and said she's listening to me right now.
Aww.
So good morning, Naomi Gonzalez.
How cute.
It's nice. So you must know a lot of people over the years and stuff like that, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
My job is to be familiar with producers, with vice presidents of companies, especially as president of the Talent Managers Association, to move easily.
Right.
Among everybody, because that helps my clients.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're not the old-fashioned management company that you would see, you know, somewhere on TV with stacks of literary scripts and some guy with a cigar yelling at people. I do yell.
Oh, you
people.
Yell.
Yeah,
you
I
yell.
Do yell at people.
I get yelled at.
All right, but the part of that is we want to be seen. We have a really great reputation in the industry. One of our radio broadcasters in Los Angeles. She's been on radio. She's on K-Earth. She's on a lot of other stations all day long. Was at an event 2 nights ago and wrote me yesterday. She was having a couple of beers with a producer. And the producer asked who her representation was.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, Studio Talent Group. And the woman said, I've always got great talent from Studio Talent Group. I've always got great people. they are fantastic to work with. That's the reputation I want.
Right. Yeah.
I want a reputation where actors want to be with us because we're caring, we're kind, we're concerned.
Right.
And people in the industry want to hire our talent.
Because they're great.
And because we're easy to work with.
Yeah.
So it still means, look, we're going to be a bulldog if we have to fight for our clients' rights,
mm-hmm.
to fight for more money for our clients.
Right.
We don't want to ever sell our clients down the river. But there's a way to do it so that everyone still walks away at the end of the day shaking hands and liking each other.
Right. Yeah, as opposed to... having where I've come from before this, mm-hmm. from like having agents that have ruined everything.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Rod.
I think part of our deal is A, not to ruin everything, and to make sure, look, at my job is to help advance our clients' careers
mm-hmm.
and advance their reputations.
It's branding.
Yeah. Branding. A lot of it's branding, and a lot of it is absolutely, you know, for actors, it's also longevity. This is not a sprint.
Right.
It's such a marathon.
Right.
And actors need to remember that. And actors need to remember very much so that this is a long-term process, but it's just like being in a sport.
Right.
I played baseball for a long time. And, you know, I practiced every day. And I used to get made fun of because I would walk around campus with a baseball in my hand because I was a pitcher. I was always feeling that baseball, playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people would laugh at me. But that's the way you become good at a sport.
Mm.
Acting is a sport.
Mm.
So when I go around and I make up fake accents, I do this a lot, and people think I'm actually from like Australia or whatever. It's actually really fun. Mary and I do this. That's my practicing.
Yeah.
And then I snap out of it back into my normal LA Valley girl talk. I'm like, God. And then they're like, what the? Just happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, I joke on you.
Well, that's good. You know, have like the ability.
And you know,
I
just took your friend finally.
Thank goodness. You did take Mary, and she's really happy. She's gone out on, I think, 6 different auditions, she said recently.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I haven't gone out in a while.
So now,
well,
you're
getting
your
pictures up. You'll start going out.
I know.
And it is this weird thing called pilot season. So there's more pressure. There's more pressure on my staff. There's more pressure on me.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And, you know, this is the time all my actors' desires, I feel them.
Mm-hmm.
Every night.
Right.
There are times of the year that there's not too much pressure, and there's just the pressure to want to be the best at what you do.
Yeah.
Right.
But this time of year, I can feel every one of my clients' eyes searing into my, you know, skull going, we want a pilot. We want work. Please help us now.
Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure, I would imagine. So why would you want to get into something like that? I mean, it's very demanding and stuff. So how did you get into being a talent agent?
Well, I like people. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the first and foremost thing is liking people.
Yeah.
And I love acting. I love the craft. And I love being around creative people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the one really interesting thing about this business. Everyone talks about, if they're not from L.A., they talk about, oh, actors must be dumb and they're like eclectic and, and they're not talented and they're not whatever. Well, you know, actors, almost every actor I represent is a college graduate. A lot of my actors have master's degrees in acting. A lot of my actors are so well-rounded. We have an older actress, Mary Warnoff. Mary Warnoff won a Theater World Award. She was a Spirit Award Best Actress nominee. She was a cult figure. She's a star of Rock and Roll High School. She's a star of a ton of different movies. And she was a member of Andy Warhol's Velvet Underground.
Mm.
The interesting thing about Mary is she's written 5 books. She's an accomplished artist as well as an actress. Now, I have a young actor who's in his 30s, Ryan McCann. Ryan is a former UCLA quarterback, and since I'm a Bruin, that's a big thing. But he's also an acclaimed artist who was flown down by the New Orleans Saints last year to do a painting during the Super Bowl for them, for their owner's suite.
Wow.
And he's a guitarist. He writes. He's producing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a well-rounded person. And I think, you know, if you're a good actor.
Hold on. You forgot about me. I'm in acting, but I'm producing something now, and I'm doing this, and I dance.
Well, we mentioned that.
Me,
though.
Me.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, we mentioned
that. To me, almost every really good actor is also good at several other things.
And I'm an artist.
And the big thing about that is being creative.
Yeah.
Being someone who's creative and talented, and I like that participation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like seeing things created. I like helping work toward people mm-hmm. and places and things being better. So I'm big. Look at I'm a parks, you know, recreation and parks chair. Mm-hmm. I'm on the state recreation and parks commission. I love architecture. Mm-hmm. I love a ton of different things. I can't paint. I failed stick man painting back in kindergarten.
Yeah,
but and I can't sing. That. You know,
I can't sing either, but I dance.
But I dance.
Yeah, you dance.
We've danced.
Yeah, we have danced.
We may get on the table and dance here in a minute.
Uh-oh. Watch out.
There you go.
Yeah, just get you a couple of drinks here.
Okay. No kidding.
So, that's cool. So now when someone comes to you, how do you know that they can act? Do they have to have some kind of background? I mean, do they have to show you some samples of things they've done? How do you know someone's going to be a good actor?
Boy, I don't know if you ever really know. Look at someone could be a really good actor and never work, which sucks. But, you know, I think, look at what you're looking for. Our audition process is strenuous in our office.
Yeah,
we require two contrasting contemporary monologues. We require a cold read. We require a commercial read. And we require 16 bars of a song if you sing. So, and we want to see tape.
I would sing, but
we wouldn't
have taken
you.
You don't want me to do that.
although she did offer us a tape of her singing in the shower.
Yeah. I did.
And something about soapy and nude and
Axe body wash.
But I realized that I wasn't that kind of agent in the valley, so we had to scratch that.
No casting couch.
Yes, which would be a different kind of audition process.
A different, yes. Yeah.
You know, so we're really. In our office, if we take someone, we've seen tape, we've seen them work, we've talked to them extensively, and we've decided that, wow, they're a good fit.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean, you know, there's a fine print in all of our contracts that's invisible ink that says we can't really promise you anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we get people out. I mean, I just got a text just now that one of our other clients has a serious regular pilot audition this afternoon. And she just got that in the last half hour.
Really?
So,
congratulations.
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Those things are happening continuously. And especially this time of year, you want to see that every day.
Right.
Well, he's also very encouraging as well, I feel like, because every time an actor does get an audition or books something, what he does do, which I think is really awesome to encourage other actors and to see that they're going out, is at the end of the day, he will tweet, these are the auditions of the day, these are the bookings of the day kind of thing. So, like,
right.
We all see that, and it's kind of like an encouraging, like, oh, wow, these people went out, and they did this or they did that, or, hey, there's my name. And if you forget my name, which you've forgotten before, I'll give you shit about it. But
social media is very important to an actor's success. Social media is very important to a business's success these days. In our company, we believe everything should be absolutely transparent.
Mm.
So we literally tweet auditions. We tweet bookings.
Really?
Yeah.
We actors, I open my Twitter lines up once
at
a week
night.
Or so and say, if you have a question, doesn't matter if you're my actor or not, you can go to @ STGACTOR, that's STGACTOR, and ask me acting questions. And I'd rather have an educated populace of intelligent actors who aren't being misled, who aren't being taken advantage of, who aren't being financially ripped off.
Yeah, been there.
I'd much rather have that. It doesn't matter if they're my actor or not.
Mm-hmm.
On my way here this morning, before I left my house, an actress who I saw in November couldn't take. Because she wasn't ready yet,
right.
But she sent me a note about joining AFTRA and saying that every class I told her to take, she's taking. She thinks her progress has been immense. And right now, should she join a union? And my answer was, join AFTRA, because SAG and AFTRA are about to merge.
Which pisses me off, but...
So, well, but it's great. In terms of an actor right now, if you're not SAG, if you're not a Screen Actors Guild member... You have 3 weeks left to join the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists for $1,600, and you will automatically be grandfathered into the Screen Actors Guild.
Oh, I don't think that's
when it merges. Otherwise, you're going to have to go back to three vouchers. They're going to eliminate the new media option that people have been able to get their union status on. And it's going to cost $3,000 to join SAG.
Good.
Wow. So right now,
no, good.
You can join, basically get SAG and AFTRA for $1,600. Mm-hmm. Every actor should join now, join now if they're not a member of SAG. Join AFTRA today.
But
you can do it on computer.
I mean, I know you want to, and I know it's great of encouraging those people out there. But on the other hand, on the other side of it, it pisses me off because it's like I have worked so hard to get my SAG card back then. And because, like, for right now, like, I feel like every TV show that's out there, a major actor is now taking those parts on the shows where normally they'd be in films. They're now all back on TV again. So it's really hard to get those jobs. Now, if people can just become SAG because they can just pay to be AFTRA and now you're grandfathered into being SAG instead of, like, actually working and earning your SAG card, then that means you're now competing against me. And that's more of a, and that just pisses me off. It's not fair. Right. You should have to earn it and you should, like, you should really have to be able, like, to earn it. That's my biggest thing. Like,
how do you earn it?
I did.
How do you earn
it? So you should too. It just really irks me.
See, and I look at it a different way. AFTRA has always been open membership. Anybody could pay and join. And you know what? I was hoping when they merged that SAG AFTRA, the combined union, would do the same thing, because the more actors that were union in the United States, the less chance there was for non-union work.
Right. I get it.
And but... and you've been burned on, you've done non-union work in the past before you were union.
Right.
And you've been burned because you haven't made the money you would have made. I know you have a famous late night commercial.
Yeah.
For luckily something I don't need. But you know, your extend spot.
Yeah.
You got paid peanuts compared to what it would have been paid.
I know.
If it was union.
Right.
So I would have rather seen an open union so that everybody was union, and the non-union people would have to become, non-union producers would have to turn union to get good talent. The way it is now, to join the Screen Actors Guild, you have to get 3 union vouchers or a speaking role on a movie or TV show that's under SAG jurisdiction. That's been increasingly difficult. There's been a loophole that's been in existence about 2 years. That if you did a new media, internet, webisode series.
That's what Mary did.
Yes.
We did it together.
Right. And that would get you your SAG eligibility. Mm. And that was the loophole. My understanding is once the merger happens, they're going to wipe that loophole. You're going to have to get your 3 vouchers, which is a tenuous circumstances because so many actors want the SAG vouchers who are already SAG.
Right.
And I've heard all kinds of lurid stories about second ADs bargaining those SAG vouchers for girls.
Yeah.
So I'd rather that stop.
Right.
And to me, I think it's very important that actors become union if they want a career in acting.
What if they're real? My own thing is now. It's like people, okay, if you earned your SAG card and you got in because you earned it because you were a working actor and you're good or whatever, or maybe you got in.
But it doesn't ensure you, it doesn't ensure you work either way.
But now it's like, okay, anyone who thinks that they're amazing or wants to be an actor, as long as you have money, oh, bam, for the next couple of weeks, you can do it. And that that's just not.
But it won't help you get, see, look at, bottom line is it's the same as a college degree. You get your college degree, it gives you the entry to places because they'll at least look at you.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're going to hire you if you're not qualified.
Right. No, but we've got so many people who shouldn't be qualified who are just paying their way to get in it. That's what my point is.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, if they're doing this, maybe they have a reason. I don't know. But what are those vouchers you're talking about? How do you get those union vouchers?
You have to sign up at an extra casting place like Central Casting. Uh-huh. They will, you pester them, and eventually, hopefully, you'll get your 3 vouchers. Right. I've known actors where it's been a month, and I've known other actors where it's taken a year.
Wow.
So I'm always concerned about that. And look it, if you're SAG eligible today, which means you're eligible to join, you've got your requirements, you just haven't paid.
Right.
Right now it's like $2,269.
Yeah.
After the merger, that amount's going to go up to $3,000. So I'm telling you, if you join after today for $1,600, you've saved either $669 from joining SAG, or if you waited, $1,400. So really, to me, union membership's on sale. But hey, it's a fire sale. but it's only for a few weeks.
Right.
So I'm saying if you are an actor, if you're planning on doing this for your livelihood, for your career, and when you die you want five words on your epitaph, I was a working actor, then go ahead and join, because right. that's the way to really get a career.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things that make you go, hmm.
I see what you're saying, but I still am upset about it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, my job is to help the widest amount of actors I can.
And my job
save
is to be stingy.
The same as when you took headshots, right? Yeah. We gave you a great photographer mm-hmm. at a really good price.
No, you did.
And
you did.
That's exactly the same, you know, as that, because we try to make sure we don't want, in the case of our 8-year-old, mm-hmm. we're anti the mills that advertise that want $2,000 and $3,000 from kids and take advantage of them.
Right.
We are yeah. anti people that promise the world can't deliver. We're anti mm-hmm. spending $1,000 on headshots.
Right.
We are very cognizant, however, that we want our actors training with the best people in LA, mm-hmm. or if they're in New York or wherever they are, the finest schools mm-hmm. with the people with the best reputation who are going to really challenge them. But that doesn't necessarily mean huge amounts of money.
Right.
It means be smart and be in business as an actor, because every actor is CEO of their own company.
Right.
If they hire a manager, the manager is COO. If they hire agents, the agents are vice presidents. And I've just given every actor out there a corporate
structure.
Flow chart yeah. structure uh-huh. for themselves. And that's important for them to realize. But they also have to make sure, as I've said recently in a couple of seminars, that every actor is a little bit like a tube of Crest toothpaste. Every year or two, uh-huh. Crest toothpaste does what? It's whiter. It's brighter. There's more whitening crystals.
Right,
there's
right,
more
right.
tartar control. There's right. more all these different things.
Uh-huh.
Well, actors have to constantly reinvent themselves, make themselves better,
right.
make themselves that shinier new product. That doesn't mean getting ripped off in the process.
Right.
I agree.
So
that's the biggest thing.
Are you saying if you look for an agent, they should not charge you money? Or
no.
do you charge money?
Agents,
you don't, right?
agents and managers do are not. Not allowed to charge any advance fees, any upfront fees at all. They work for you on spec.
Right.
And agents,
commission
agents
stuff,
take
right?
commission. Agents take 10% of the gross. Mm-hmm. Managers take 15% of the gross mm-hmm. amount that you would make. So their interest is in booking you work at right. the highest amount of money possible, because that's how they make their living.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a choice of who they want to put their time and effort into. So hopefully agents and managers take people that they believe will make them money.
Right. Money, right.
I take it one step further and I look at as we'll make money over the long term.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are very few people out there that are just short term, wow, I took you in the first audition, you book, you go crazy, and everything's wonderful.
Right.
It almost always takes a long time. It's a stepping process. If we take someone, we're willing to work with them for the long time. And I have to mention, two of my actors who have been with me since the day I opened, both booked the week of our anniversary. One booked a TV show. And one booked a national commercial. And that was so gratifying to me that as we started our 18th year,
mm-hmm.
two of my original actors
That's
both
cool.
booked jobs the week of our anniversary.
That's cool.
Amazing.
And I thought that was
yeah.
cool.
Mm-hmm. It really is, you know. So let me ask you this. How do you find out about those jobs and everything? I mean, obviously, that's why the actors need you, because otherwise they would find it themselves, right?
Well, you can't just submit yourself. They won't.
Really?
Directors.
So you
I
have
mean,
to have an agent.
You can, but you're not going to get the big roles. Or
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a few roles out there through Actors Access, through LA Casting, through Now Casting, through Casting Frontier that are open to actors
right.
and backstage. The majority of roles are going to be open only for agents and managers to see and submit you. So in that way, yes, it's a little bit of a closed shop.
Right.
So you have to, as an actor, struggle to find that agent or manager who believes in your talent, who believes right. in your look, who will submit you, remember you every day when they wake up, remember you till they go to sleep, and we'll work hard for you.
Right. And also that has the relationships with all the casting directors.
Yeah.
Because you can't...
Obviously.
If they don't, then, you know, like, for example, if I see something, I'm like, oh my God, I see this. I'll call them and be like, oh my God, can you call them and try to get me in? You know, because not everyone can do that.
Right.
Not every agency can just pick up the phone and call.
Right.
Like, have that relationship.
And that's just the way because the industry turned out that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people sort of like depend on people and... They want to do it professionally, and you know how to.
And you know, we do everything. Almost all submissions are electronic. But I just want to tell you right now, we started this show at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
There was a feature film released at 10 a.m., an infomercial at 10:05, an episodic at 10:06, at 10:15 another movie was released, 10:17 another feature film was released. At 10:23 this morning, episodic. I'm looking at the breakdowns right now. At 10:29, a pilot with seven roles was released. A commercial was released at 10:31 on breakdowns. A music video at 10:31. And 10:38, an episodic was just released at about 5 minutes ago. That's just on breakdowns. Now, if I opened LA Casting right now, we'd see an equal amount of just commercials. And we were getting the last few days to where once every minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, something would pop.
Mm.
So what we do is we open it, we read the role, and then we respond with the clients of ours that we think are fantastic for that role, as if we were casting and producing that movie ourselves,
right,
or TV show.
Yeah.
Who would we want to see in it? And that's how we submit.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this business, I would imagine, pretty competitive, right? I mean, there's got to be like a lot of agents here.
There are.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as Brigetta said they should all not have, actors shouldn't be allowed just to get in the SAG. See, I feel there's too many managers and agents, too.
Right.
Evidently,
there's
like 1,400 or 1,500 agents and managers who receive breakdowns.
Wow.
That's a crazy amount. And we have about 200 managers alone just in the Talent Managers Association.
Right.
Plus, there's at least, you know, there's agents, there's sub-agents, there's managers. There's all kinds of competition out there. So part of this is longevity.
Right.
And part of it is building your name brand, which Brigetta mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you build that name brand, has Studio Talent Group has over the years, you know, we're a trusted source for talent.
Yeah.
And we want to be trusted for helping actors achieve their goals.
Right.
And that takes a long time to build up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So what would you recommend for someone who wants to get into acting and stuff? Should they call you right away or should they do?
No,
don't call me at all.
prayer. They can meet me at my church at 9:30 on Sundays for Mass. St. Monica's Monsignor Torgerson gives great blessings.
Yeah.
You know,
oh my gosh. That
could be the biggest help. You know, look it. They should do theater. They should do showcases. They should submit to us. They can go to www.studiotalentgroup.com, mm-hmm, and they can get their information on how to submit that way.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we don't respond the first time, if they decide that we're where they want to be every 3 months, every 6 months, you pester us, you come back at us. I've known Mary for 2 or 3 years now before we finally took her. But I saw such a quantum change in her over the last year
she's
as well.
Huge.
She's now focused. Yeah, and that's a huge thing. And she's now got the money to pursue where she didn't before.
Exactly.
Right.
And, you know, so look, we absolutely see submissions all the time. Our office receives about 800 submissions a month between email and hard copy, which is crazy amounts. I read every letter.
Really?
I read every submission. My staff get to look at them, but I'm the one who makes final decisions. I'm the one who reads them. We do Twitter generals. So every month we'll open up the Twitter lines and say we'll see the first 25 people. We see them at the Showbiz Store and Cafe. They'll get to perform one monologue and have a Q&A with me. That's free.
Right.
We do a lot of different things to see actors. Mm-hmm. This time of year we're constricting. I got yelled at by my staff that I can't see anyone else. So by next week we'll stop seeing people for the next 6 weeks or so because of pilot season. But, you know, look, there's always a need. Someone may get pregnant.
Right.
Someone may quit the business. Someone will move. People will leave.
Someone may get their face scratched by a cat.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Damn it. The
stitches could ruin you. So there are so many different things that happen out there. So there's always some flux, some opening on rosters. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people, look at submit to us. It's phil@studiotalentgroup.com. And again, on Twitter @STGActor, on Facebook @PhilBrock. And they're absolutely welcome to submit, and they're always welcome to ask for help and ask for advice.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're willing to help and stuff, which is amazing. I think. Yeah. Not one of those stuck-up people in L.A. So,
I'm kidding. I'm teasing.
All right. Well,
look, we all have an ego.
Yeah.
So you can always send me your swag, too. Extra gifts we'll take.
There you go. All right. Phil Brock, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun. And Brigetta, thank you, and all the best of luck with Phil. I'm sure it's going to work out for you.
Oh, we've been...
Yeah, you've been together for a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool. We're old friends. Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds good.
And unfortunately, just platonic. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Of course. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.